Today's program has been brought to you by Tri-State Merchants, specializing in credit, debit, and check processing solutions for a wide spectrum of merchants. For more information, visit tmsmerchant.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Hi, everybody. You tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, and I don't have my co-host. I don't know where he is, and out there somewhere. And we have Joe in the booth. Thank God Joe's here.
Yep, I'm here.
Joe G's here. Okay, so we broadcast live every week from 4:30 to 5, and you can send us your emails or your questions while we're on air. We'd love to hear from you. The phone number is 718-497-2128. So call us, 497-2128. Or you can send Joey G an email, and he'll read it on air. And that's info@heritageradionetwork.com. You can follow both Flash Talks Cash and Heritage Radio Network on Twitter, and we both have Facebook pages. So we're there. We're social media and everybody. So there's no reason why you can't hear us, tune in, and talk to us. If you can't tune in while we're broadcasting live, we have podcasts that are free through iTunes, or all the episodes are on the website. Okay, so that's enough of that. We have a nice guest today, a friend of ours, well, a friend of mine. His name is Josh Steinhardt. Hi, Josh.
Hello there.
Okay.
How are you?
Good, good, good. Josh is here because we're going to do a show about first-time home buyers. And Josh is in the market, and he's considering buying his first home, him and his wife. And he had a few questions. So I said, okay, I'll answer all the questions you want on air. I wouldn't talk to him outside of the radio station because that's the way Flash operates. Okay, so we're going to talk about how...
Hey, Joanne.
Yeah.
I have somebody. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but...
Oh, no problem.
We have someone on the line.
Okay. Who's on the line over there? Hello.
Good afternoon. How are we doing this week?
I'm so sorry, Mike. It's my son, Andrew. You aren't missing.
Even calling in, I can't get on time. I'm a real mess.
You aren't really missing. I was putting your picture on the milk carton after the show.
I think we should just put me on... We should have a picture of me in the studio because I feel like I haven't been there in a while.
Yeah, okay. Well, you better come back because by the time you come back, if you stay out too long, Joe's hair's not going to be blonde anymore, and then you'll miss the big event for the year.
Joe, why have you not posted this to Facebook yet? We're friends there.
No, he wants
we're
you.
Friends,
he,
yeah.
he wants you to see him in person.
That's the only reason I haven't
That's
posted
it.
Actually. I just can't. Once you come into the studio, it's going to be all over the internet.
Yeah.
Man. Don't worry about
so
it.
So we're waiting for you, Drew. Everybody's waiting for Andrew to show up in the studio. And so you're missing meeting Josh Steinhardt. He's a school teacher in the New York City school system, music teacher. We know those kind of people. He's shaking his head. Yes, mm-hmm. He says yes. We're on radio, Josh. You got to talk. And Josh is a newlywed, been married a year now. And his wife, she also works for the city in another capacity. So the two of them are hardworking city employees. The good thing is you survived the financial crisis, so your jobs are pretty solid.
Certainly hope so.
Yes. You know, you survived the massive layoffs, and you're not in an industry where we don't think there's going to be layoffs.
Right.
Right. So as far as buying a house, they're solid citizens, so that's good. Now, so Josh, you're going to buy in the city of New York.
That would be most likely, yes, since both of our jobs are city jobs.
Yes. And so buying a house in the city of New York could be pretty expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Drew, you can chime in because you're one of these people too, right?
I'm not nearly as rich as this guy, apparently, because I have no money.
Well,
I want to live in New York. I want to be rich and famous and own a house, but I can't afford it yet.
Well, yeah. You got to start somewhere. You don't start off with your dream house. That's number one.
I'm trying to get a studio apartment in Manhattan, mm-hmm, or in Brooklyn. It's very expensive.
Yeah, it's true.
Where's Josh looking?
Well, we're living in Park Slope right now, which is an expensive neighborhood to rent in, let alone to buy in.
Yeah, he knows. He lives in the same neighborhood.
It's a beautiful neighborhood. Absolutely love it. Would love to buy there, but the only things that you find are brownstones for a couple of million dollars,
yes,
or, you know, two-bedroom apartments for $800,000.
Okay, well, Andrew's got his sights set a little lower. He's looking at studio apartments, so there's right. a little difference.
And even that, I'm not even in the right price range.
Yeah. Okay, but let's talk about that. So maybe your first home is not your dream home, so everybody's got to be knocked down a few pegs because they can't afford. No one really comes out of the gate and buys the mansion of their dreams, okay? So everybody starts off with a starter home, and a starter home in Brooklyn may be a one-bedroom home instead of a two-bedroom, a large one-bedroom, so you can squeeze a baby in there if a baby comes along, right? Or you have a little space. I know Josh is not smiling with that option, but that's the way sometimes it's got to go. Well, now the big hurdle, the first big hurdle, is coming up with the 20% down payment, right?
Correct.
That's a tough one, and that's what keeps most people out of the real estate market, is coming up with that down payment. So you got to squirrel away all those pennies each and every week, each and every month, and there's no shortcut to that. There are a few programs out there that may allow you to go into a 10% buyer's program, 10% down, or the 3% days are over. That went away with the financial debacle. It's still hard to find a home or a loan where they'll allow you to go with 10% down. Mm-hmm. If you do go with less than 20% down, you have an issue of PMI. I forget what the P stands for, but it's mortgage interest. Insurance. Something, private mortgage insurance, that's what the P stands. Private mortgage insurance, and the banks impose that on anyone who has a loan that is greater than 80% of the value of the home.
Okay.
So if you don't have that 20% down, then they are entitled to impose this. And it's, you know, it's a few dollars each. It could be a couple hundred dollars, depending on the value of the loan. It's a percentage of the loan out there. Mm. Until you get to that 80% point, then they could take that private mortgage insurance off. So if you go 20%, you don't have PMI. The other thing that I think about when I think about a first-time home buyer could be someone who might be considering a multifamily home. Have you considered that?
We have thought about it. The idea of becoming a landlord frightens me a bit because I am not a handy person.
Well, you don't have to be, you have to be handy. Whether you have, we don't understand what Andrew's saying. That's kind of weird. Andrew's weird on the phone, Joe. You don't have to be...
I'm here on the phone.
Oh, I thought you were talking to another person in outer space. So, you don't have to be handy to be a two-family home. You could be handy even in your own home. Hmm. So, you know, I don't think that should be the criteria to buy a two-family home. What's going to happen if you live in the house all by yourself and you're not handy? You're going to hire somebody.
Right.
So, you're going to hire somebody if you live in have a two-family home. So, but the thing about it, as you could imagine, is if you'll pay more for a two-family house, you'll pay a little bit more, but you'll get that mortgage, I mean that rental income to offset that big mortgage payment,
right.
Which could be considerable. And in time, the way rents go, typically, they would pay your entire mortgage in 5 to 10 years if you set it up right.
Wow.
Okay. So, you know, it depends also on what you buy. You know, if you buy a two-family where you're renting a studio, that's going to be different than if you buy a two-family and you have two bedrooms.
Can I ask a question? I don't know about Josh, but the down payment is usually a lot more for a two-family.
No, it's still 20%, but the price of the house is higher than a single-family home.
Well, that's why the down payment's higher.
But the percentage is the same.
Number is a higher number.
The percentage is the same.
Yeah.
So
if you have a $500,000 house, 20% is going to be $100,000. If you have a $1 million two-family house now because you have two units, that's going to be $100,000.
Right.
Or $200,000. Where are you going to come up with the extra money?
Well, down payments can come from, obviously, your savings.
Mm-hmm.
Can come from gifts from your family members, right?
Mm-hmm. How much can they give you?
They can give you anything they want. They have to sign a letter stating that you have a gift. It's not a loan, it's a gift. And the person given the gift, if they're in the right bracket and they give enough money, it depends on the value, they may have to file a gift tax return with the government, which is not a tax. It's just an information reporting return that tells the government, these assets left my account and I transferred them over, I gifted them over to my son or my daughter's account, and that's where these kids came up with the money. It It's not a tax. It's called a gift tax return, but it's not legally a tax.
Is that just to show that's not income of ours?
It's not to show income. It's to show the government where your assets are. Like, if you all of a sudden pull out $100,000 out of my account and I give it to Andrew, and Andrew all of a sudden has $100,000, the government's going to say, what's she up to and where the hell did he get that kind of money? Mm-hmm. So we're explaining the transfer through a tax return.
I see.
Okay? So you can get some gifts from a family member or anybody. Anybody wants to give you a gift. Generally, it comes from family members, your parents, your grandparents. Mm-hmm. And that will help you vault to that 20% level.
One of the things that we have is investment accounts that our parents had set up for us when we were kids that have fortunately done pretty well.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that I'm always hearing is you need to be liquidated 5 years before you want to buy a house. You shouldn't still have it in the stock market. It should be in cash instead. And I feel weird about that.
That's absurd. 5 years? 5 years is like long term in the financial world. No. If you have your money in a brokerage account, investment account, and you start shopping for a house and you find a house, I think 3 to 6 months is plenty of time. Mm. The market, unless it completely crashes, and that only happens once a century so far, historically speaking, and we just went through the crash, so you should be safe. There's no guarantees in the market. But, I think that once you're in the serious market and you start to say, well, we're going to go buy a house that's $500,000 and we need 20% of $500,000, we need $100,000, and we have some of my savings and some of my brokerage account. If you're serious, if you're real serious and you start finding stuff that you like and you're going to take that plunge, you can cash out your investment account. I don't say you should rush into that. You can take it. You got to see how you feel. How's your account been moving historically? Mm-hmm. Has it been up and down, up and down, up and down? Or has it been pretty stable for most of the time? If it's pretty stable, you don't have to really worry about it. If you have wild investments that, all of a sudden make a lot of money or lose a lot of money, maybe you want to cash them out and put them into a more stable fund. I would be in no rush to cash out an investment account that's paying me some sort of return to put it into a savings account where I'm getting less than 0.25%.
That's kind of how I felt about it, but I had been hearing this other thing.
Yeah, so. No. So an investment account is an okay place to put it. When you fill out a mortgage application, they value an investment account as equal to a savings account when you come to determine how much funds you have to buy this house and your credit and all that. Yes.
Watch out for high volatility stocks.
Yeah, if you have high volatility, you should be. If you're serious about taking it out in the next 6 months, you maybe want to move that around. Okay. So now let's assume that you do manage to scrounge up. Let's just use a scenario of $500,000 because although that's an absurd amount of money, because that is a lot of money.
Not in New York, unfortunately.
No, I know, not in New York. Well, in the neighborhoods that you want. I mean, if you went out to Staten Island or Jamaica, right, Queens, you could find a very nice house for $500,000. But, you want to be in a more expensive neighborhood. $500,000 is not buying you a very expensive apartment or house.
It's not buying us anything in Park Slope.
Well, maybe you're going to go to a different neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so let's say you come up and you have, between you and your wife, you got married last year, so you got wedding presents and you've been saving, the both of you are working hard, and my suggestion is try to live on one paycheck and bank the other paycheck. That's the way we always did it back in the days when I was younger, if that's possible. And you'll manage to squirrel away enough money to eventually get out there and take the plunge. So now you got the down payment, but the other part of it is now you got to come up with the additional funds to do the closing costs.
I've heard of them. I don't know how much they are, and it scares me.
Well, the closing cost, there's no set figure. It runs between 6 to 8 or 9% of the purchase price to go to closing, but there's no set figure. It depends. If you buy a resale home,
wait, 8 or 9%?
6-7% could be, yes.
Even that's a lot of money.
No kidding, it's a lot. It could be. You're talking, it could be $10,000
on a $500,000 house.
It could be $10,000, yes. It could be.
Oh, 30. I said
6%.
6%. 1% of $500,000 is $5,000. 6 times that.
Oh, then I have the wrong number. I'm sorry. It could be up towards $10,000.
You see, I just saved your money, Josh.
Well, he saved him money.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. He's clipping coupons here. So you got to pay legal fees. You got to pay mortgage transfer tax. And you have to pay.
You hear her, but not me.
And you have to pay. I wish you would stop doing that, Drew. You'd throw me off. You have to pay appraisal fees, you have to pay mortgage application fees, and there's a whole lot of fees involved in that. And of course, your lawyer, depending on how much your lawyer charges. So it could be towards $10,000. Now, that's assuming you buy resale. Now, the little caveat in New York City, which I learned the hard way, is if you buy a new development from a sponsor, a condo development that's brand new, the general trend is the contractors pass along their closing costs to the buyers. They tack on their closing costs on top of your closing costs, and they could be huge. Huge. Could be $20,000, $30,000, depending on how expensive your unit is.
Why would they do that?
They're allowed to do it. They get away with it, and they do it, and people have to pay it in order to do the closing.
Is that
why would you buy a new house then if it's going to cost you $20,000 more?
Well, a lot of people like the new developments, and they like new apartments, and they fall in love with a place, and they buy them.
Is that something to think about with mortgages? When I'm applying for a mortgage, think about an extra $20,000.
Well, you're going to have that in addition to the down payment. They're not going to let you finance your closing costs. So let's take a break for a minute now and come back and talk about the next sad part of the situation. And then we'll talk about the joy. We'll be right back.
This program is sponsored by Tri-State Merchant Services. If you are a business owner, then you are processing credit or debit cards and checks. Providers for these services can be large, faceless companies who take your business for granted. But at Tri-State Merchant Services, your satisfaction is our priority, and we strive to earn your business every day. We offer more than just credit card processing. We provide valuable insight, solutions, and practical tools for streamlining your business. What's more, while we have the manpower of the leading processors, we never lose sight of the fact that every business starts small and that together we can do big things. At Tri-State Merchant Services, we believe in working with local businesses to strengthen our community. A strong community builds a strong economy. Check out our partner referral program and all of our services at tmsmerchant.com.
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash. We're talking today about buying your first home, and we have a potential first home buyer, Josh Steinhardt, in the studio. We have Andrew, a potential first time home buyer, on the line. Well, you will be one day. One day you're going to be your first time home buyer.
One day. Songs about when people buy houses.
Yes.
I'm never going to buy it. I can't afford it.
We talked about the really hard part about buying houses and the negative and the tough part, but let's talk about the good side about it. Where we left off, Andrew said, why would you buy directly from a sponsor and have to pay their closing costs? The benefit to that, one of the benefits is new developments often have tax abatements, real estate tax abatements. So you don't pay real estate taxes on your home, and it could be very substantial. You could be saving. Condos in Brooklyn and Manhattan have very high real estate tax base, so the real estate taxes could be you know, thousands of dollars a year, and you will not have to pay that. Most of the tax abatements in New York City are gradually introduced. So the first year you might pay $2, and the next year you might pay $20, and the third year it goes up a little bit more. And then eventually, to the 14th year or the 10th year, you get to your full amount. But it's very low the first 7 years. So there's a plus about buying directly from the sponsor. So you don't get a tax abatement when you buy a resale unless the person has a relatively new home and they're still in their 10 or 14 year tax abatement. Okay? So that's one perk. And some people just like new houses.
You know, we had friends who had purchased a place from a new development and spent several months going through the paperwork. They got a mortgage from their bank, and at some point, their bank told them that they were denying the mortgage on that particular development.
Well, you know, there could be many, many reasons. One of them is if they're not sold enough, the banks are reluctant to invest in a project that is only 20% sold, 5% sold. You know, in the last 3 or 4 years, projects were really rocky, mm-hmm. and banks were very tough on anybody trying to borrow money. So there could be many, many reasons why the banks pulled out on their mortgage. And getting a mortgage is a lot more difficult now than it has ever been since the financial crisis. So even if you have great credit and you're a good candidate for a mortgage and everything, all the stars are lined up for you, you could still have a harrowing time with the bank. Mm-hmm. Be prepared. That's the negative. I want to focus on the positive on the second half, okay? One of the other things is interest rates could not be any lower. I don't even imagine. I mean, people are in a state of shock that a 30-year fixed mortgage today is 3.5%. This is so historically low. In my 50-plus years I've been on this earth, mortgage rates were never this low. It's amazing.
What's the typical mortgage rate been?
Well, you know, typical is it's hard. They go. In my lifetime, most people had mortgage interest rates between 7-8%, 10%. They even went up as high as 13% when I, you know, in the 80s. And my parents bought their first home. I think they paid more than 3.5% mortgage interest. Mm. So this is unbelievably low. And if you buy a 15-year fixed mortgage, it's under 3%. It's phenomenal. There is still an option to buy an adjustable rate mortgage. I don't know if you understand what that is. I'll explain briefly. An adjustable rate is at this point is 3%. My opinion, when interest rates are that close between a fixed and an adjustable, my opinion is go for the fixed. You know what you're getting into. Adjustable means it can change, and any adjustable mortgage has different criteria, but it can change on the anniversary every year, tied into the LIBOR rate. If you read anything about the LIBOR rate lately, they've been rate fixing over in England, and it's a big problem. But you know, the LIBOR rate is the rate that banks use to set all the other rates, mm-hmm. you know, all interest rates. So when it's at 3% for a 5-year adjustable rate mortgage, and a 30-year fixed rate is 3.5%. To me, the risk of a 0.5% difference isn't worth it to go for an adjustable. I'd rather know I have 30-year fixed at 3.5%.
Right, that makes sense.
Yes. So, and if you're really interested and you have enough cash flow, a 15-year fixed mortgage at 3% is unbelievable. That means if you're borrowing, you know, I'm not going to do the math, but if you're borrowing $300,000 over 30 years, that means you have to pay back $10,000 a year. 10 times 30 would get you to 300, right?
Mm-hmm.
So $10,000 a year at 3% interest is going to be like a mortgage payment of maybe $1,000 a month or something. I mean, it's so low. It's just mind-boggling to me. So the interest rates are extraordinarily low. But interest rates and home prices have an inverse relationship, as far as I believe this, and a lot of people believe this. When interest rates are low, housing prices go up because people can afford more house. And so they tend to rise. And then the reverse happens. When interest rates are high, more house prices go down because people can't afford to buy as much house. So, and the good thing about, it's weird, but the good thing about buying a house at a high interest rate and a low price is, when the interest rates fall, you can refinance that loan, but you still have bought the house at a low price.
What exactly does it mean? That's a term that I've heard a million times, and I don't exactly know what refinancing means.
Refinance means after you buy your first home, after you buy your home and you're sitting in the house and everything's cool, and you find that the mortgage rates have dropped enough where if you were to go to the bank and say, I want to pay off my first mortgage, and I want to get a new mortgage, and I want it at the lower rate. That means that you're going to say, if your payment is $1,000 a month and you can get a lower rate, and you could save another $200 a month, and you can get your payment down to $800 a month. People do this all the time. So
what's
you,
the incentive for the bank to do
no,
that?
Well, the bank will, your same bank will do it. More often than not, you have to go to a new bank, because okay. new bank wants new
more
business.
New, yeah, sure.
But you have to pay closing costs associated with it, and we talked about how expensive okay. closing costs will be, so it has to be worth your while. And and then you're also extending your loan again. If you're 5 years into your mortgage, and then you go to the bank and say, okay, the rates dropped enough where I could save money, you're going to get a new 30-year loan. So now you got another 30 years instead of 25 years left on your mortgage, which, you know, I never tell anybody, be prepared to pay off your mortgage. That's not even in the realm. You should always try to use the bank's money for your assets. Always. Why use up your own money? Especially with interest rates this low. Hmm. It doesn't pay to use up your money, because you may have an opportunity with all that money you have in your accounts someday to buy a better investment, a stock market or a bond mm-hmm. or something that's going to be paid better than this 3% you're going to get on your mortgage.
Well, speaking of the investments, I don't know how off topic it would be, but you know, one of the things that I've always heard about buying a home is that you need to make sure you have an emergency fund
okay, we're
set up.
Yes, let's talk about it. I don't believe in that big emergency fund. I'm not a firm believer. You know, all my days and all my friends and all the people that I know, when they bought their first home, they came out of that closing and they were plumb broke because they put everything they could possibly muster to get to that first home and get those closing costs paid and get that house, you know, get that mortgage approved. It's very nice to have an emergency. You and your wife have pretty solid jobs. God forbid anything tragic happens, you have parents or family mm-hmm. that, and you have access. You could have credit cards, then you're going to have access to other credit. I mean, that's something, you know, that no one ever knows what's going to happen. But, you know, in a few months, you'll be able to be okay and start putting some money away and have some breathing room, because the best side about owning a home is you can now pay less taxes. So there's a big tax incentive save, and so you can bring more money home each week because you can change your withholding taxes on your paycheck because now you have additional deductions when you file your tax return, and you can bring home, depending on how big your mortgage is, a few dollars. It could be $50 more a week. It could be $100 more a week. It could be, we have to determine that based upon all the numbers that you and your wife have. But you, once you get your home, you should adjust your withholding so you could bring more money home each week, and your refunds will not be ridiculously large in April. I'd rather you have the money each week than mm-hmm. wait once a year for a large refund. But the people love having a house because it gives them a great write-off. The write-offs are your real estate taxes, and the write-off is your mortgage interest. And if you own a multifamily house, two or three family house, you can write off all your repairs and all your improvements that you've done on the house and done on the tenant's apartment. So there's even more incentive to write off. So your return on that investment is even higher, and you get depreciation for the rental property, the rental portion of the house. So it's certainly a tax benefit. And those are the great things that people love when they buy their house. All of a sudden, they get big refunds, and they could change their withholdings. And if you have a couple of kids, and you have a mortgage, and you have real estate taxes, all of a sudden, your tax brackets fall lower and lower. Because being single or being a newlywed, two people earning a nice salary and living in a rental apartment and don't have any write-offs. You have no write-offs.
Right.
So you're paying probably one of the highest tax rates that are out there. And we get taxed pretty heavily in New York City. We pay federal, we pay New York City and New York State. So you and your wife are wonderful taxpayers to to the rest of us, but all the rest of us have great write-offs, and you want to get on that on that train and get the write-off. So that's something that really should inspire you to get busy, and you know, you finally get a place that will appreciate in value. Most homes, listen, real estate is cyclical. If they go up, they come down. They go up, they come down. But they go up generally in a very gradual appreciation. 3-4% a year, it was typical. When it starts to go up 10 and 20% a year, you're on the roller coaster ride, and it's going to crash.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in a, you know, a house where it appreciates 3 or 4% a year over a few years, at the end of 5 years or 10 years, because you are going to eventually buy another home, you're going to have more kids, you're going to make more money, you're going to your first home is usually not the house you stay in forever. Some people do, but most people move on to make changes. You'll get the appreciation, which you will never get as being a tenant, and your landlord gets your appreciation.
Hmm.
So you now are in control of more of your financial destiny. Okay, so we are kind of at the end. You have any other last questions before we head out of here today? And we're going to go look at the real estate section. On
I think we should go look at the real estate section.
Okay. Okay, so that's buying a first home. I can't wait for Josh to call us in a few months and say he took the plunge. Him and his wife found a place they could afford, and they're going to go buy their first home. And then his tax return will be a happy tax return next year. Okay, that's it for this week. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.